Welcome everybody to Pick and Slip. I'm Gavin Miller here with
Braden Pittman. I gave you the thumbs up like three times.
Yeah, I did not see it whatsoever. But we are here and we have quite a bit to talk about here today about the NBA and what's been going on recently.
Free Beal. Man, Bradley Beal's been having a rough time, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Literally praying on the bench. What was that, two nights ago? And then last night, second game of a back-to-back, half his team's out because of COVID, and Russell Westbrook wasn't playing, and Scott Brooks played him 24 consecutive minutes in the second half. Bradley Beal needs out.
Yeah, if you guys didn't know, Bradley Beal has just, he has been on a huge tear recently, and they can't win against him. I'm pretty sure the Wizards are like 3-10 right now.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
You like, know an absolutely insane statistic that I saw?
Let me hear you.
Bradley Beal this year has not scored under 27 points.
That's crazy.
His lowest scoring game was 27 points.
And I mean, last year, Bradley Beal averaged 35 points per game.
He wasn't an all-star.
He wasn't an all-star. He didn't make the All-NBA first, second, or third team, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, he is the definition of a pure scorer, I'll say.
Yeah.
That is definitely, I would say, his main asset on the court, which is something that a lot of teams could use an abundance of, is scoring. And I would not be surprised if we see, before the trade deadline, Beal get shipped out to another team.
Yeah, and I mean, you can tell, I feel like you can tell just off the way he looks. You know, his facial expressions, he wants out. He does not want to stay in Washington. And I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, if you look at Bradley Beal and how he's contributing to the team offensive-wise, his physical offense, I heard this from somebody. I can't remember who it was, but his physical offense, I feel like he's mastered at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Mental aspect, though, I feel like, of offense is where he's starting to get better and better. Like, how to score, you know what I mean? Like,
Because he can always, he has some really nice perimeter moves that he can get himself open for, like, a good mid-range or three-pointer. And it's just, like, he can get that consistently, but it's knowing when to do it, and that's what he has been becoming even more of an expert at. He's just incredible.
Yeah.
He's just so good. And deserves so much better than he's getting.
And I can't believe that he hasn't made like an all-star game. He hasn't gotten nominated for All-NBA teams. Did Bradley Beal ever win most improved player?
I don't even think that, no.
I mean, you look at the jump he's at now to where Bradley Beal was, let's say, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, like I just feel like he's so overlooked as a player. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And I think that now he's finally getting the respect he deserves. And unfortunately has to come with people saying, please get him out of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, like that. I saw, obviously, you know, I don't know, you guys know I'm a big Paul George fan, but...
Are you, Gavin, really?
Wait, am I?
Are you?
Do I like Paul George?
Paul George is better than Michael Jordan.
Look, so basically, everyone knows I'm a big Paul George fan, which means, I guess I'm not really a Clippers fan.
You live in a constant state of misery.
Is that what it means? Yeah, to an extent, yeah. Sports-wise, Clippers always let me down. You know, they were first in the West, and now they're third. But looking at it, I'm a big Paul George fan, so I keep saying that. But currently, everyone knows he plays for the Clippers, which means I support the Clippers, I guess.
Hey, little fun fact. Pacers and Clippers are the same seed in their respective conference.
Yeah, but the Pacers play in the East. I do like the Pacers, though.
Pacers are so good this year. I love it.
I feel like, yeah, Pacers are really good this year.
And half the team's out with injuries, and we're still out here.
I'm going to ask you a question.
I have an answer to it.
Well, first, actually, I was going to say, I want Bradley Beal. I know the Clippers don't really need much more scoring, I feel like. Maybe they do, but I feel like, you know.
A big three to rival Boston. Yeah.
And I was like, thinking, what if Bradley Beal went to the Clippers?
Ooh, who would they trade?
Like, you could do, you know, however many, I don't know how many first-round picks the Clippers have. Throw in a couple. Throw in Lou Will.
I don't even think the Clippers have any first-rounders.
I don't know.
They just traded a bunch for Paul George two years ago.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Right?
Yeah, they did. They just got Paul George. I mean, maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe they have one. I don't know. I feel like you could throw in Lou Williams, like Lou Will. Lou Will.
Great. I will say,
everyone knows Lou Will. Great six man.
Right here. And this is something that Kenny from House of Highlights pointed out, is that Drew Holiday this offseason got traded for, it was like three or four first-round picks to Milwaukee. Then you have James Harden, on the other hand. He just got traded for seven first-round picks to Brooklyn. Bradley Beal is somewhere in between James Harden and Drew Holiday. So you're getting at least four or five first-round picks. So, Washington fans, do not lose hope. You have Roy Hamachera. Who's the guy that they... It was Denny, and then I forget his last name, that they just drafted. Those two already are the start to a really, really good young team. Rui being an incredible rebounder, Denny being an incredible playmaker, and then for some reason you traded for Russell Westbrook. I mean, I can't defend that.
That was terrible.
Yeah. Scott Brooks is the worst coach in basketball, I think. I'm pretty confident in saying that Scott Brooks shouldn't even be coaching a high school team. Like, I think that if Ben Davis traded coaches right now, Ben Davis would lose games. Washington Wizards would win games.
I mean, hey, Scott Brooks, I remember back in OKC, always thought Scott Brooks was a pretty good coach. But now I'm starting to realize he just had some pretty good players, He had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Serge Ibaka. And even then, after that, he still had Kevin Durant, Ibaka, Westbrook, and then it just went to Kevin Durant and Westbrook. But, hey, it must have just been the players, you know?
Yeah.
Scott Brooks. I mean, I guess looking at it, yeah, that makes sense because a coach isn't going to be a great coach if he doesn't have good players. I mean, that's a given, you know?
Yeah.
If you give Greg Popovich
last year he missed the playoffs for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, if you give Greg Popovich the Wizards, are they going to make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Actually, wait.
Yeah, Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook
Popovich. I just think, wait, I forgot. But be honest, though, Russell Westbrook is more just Bradley
Russell Beal. Westbrook. The Wizards, like, I don't know their owner's name or anything, but just always seem to hold on to coaches for a season or two more than they should have. Like, I'll say Scott Brooks should have been let go before the start of this season. He's had 3 years there. Clearly no change in culture has happened. Clearly no change in wins. Before that, Randy Whitman had 4 years. And for those who don't know, he was bad since pretty much day one. He kind of got carried by a man named John Wall and a young Bradley Beal for a couple seasons. But those last two seasons, really, he shouldn't have been coaching anymore. Everybody knew it. And they just are holding on to these coaches that should have gone through like four or five coaches by now. But instead, they've only gone through two. And both of them have been complete failures. And then now you're going to have to do a coaching change in the middle of the season. Because if they let Scott Brooks play out the rest of this season, I think the Washington Wizards should be banned by the NBA.
I think I honestly do think, though, if you bring like a coach like Greg Popovich, I still don't think they make the playoffs. I just think they'll get a lot more wins, and
it's hard to turn a 3-11 team into the playoffs.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I think they would definitely see more success in the regular season.
Like, you could say maybe let's take a team like Chicago that's 7-10 right now. They're the 10 seed. Maybe if they have Greg Popovich,
they're pushing it
into the playoffs, the 7 or 8 seed.
But
the worst team in the league isn't becoming a top 50% team just because of the coach, I don't think.
I am as good as of a coach as Greg Popovich is, and some people might disagree with me on this, I still, like, if you just swap coaches, there's just no way the Wizards are still making the playoffs,
Can I be straight up? Hot take here, and I might get a little bit of hate from this one. I don't think Greg Popovich is that good of a coach. Yeah. I mean, like, that's heresy, I know. But I don't know.
I disagree. I think
when you have Tim Duncan and David Robinson and Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker, and Kawhi Leonard, like, those teams are finals contenders anyway.
Yeah, and I see what you mean, but then I feel like...
Maybe he's really good at player development. Maybe that's what people mean by a good coach. But I feel like... And, I mean, he's definitely very passionate and kind of drives the team. But I don't know. I feel like there haven't been that many times where I've been like, man, what a good set play by Greg Popovich or anything like that. I recognize that the way that they played basketball in, like, 2013, I'm pretty sure, that was, like, one of the most beautiful seasons for basketball ever because of those San Antonio Spurs. But I think, again, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, and then a young Kawhi Leonard are doing that anyway. I think that that team is so fundamentally sound that it would be really, really hard to mess that up. Now, am I saying Greg Popovich is a bad coach? Absolutely not. But I do think that people make him seem like he's basketball Jesus when I think that he is an incredible coach. But I do think that people might get a bit hyperbolic with their love for Mr. Greg Popovich.
All right, I'm going to respond to what you said. Greg Popovich, in my opinion, is a phenomenal coach. I think that, you know, where you go to say, like, if you have Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, young Kawhi Leonard, you have those players.
And Danny Green.
Yeah, and you have Danny Green.
And
Boris Diaw is on the team.
Thousands of other good players.
Yeah, so you go, you know, you say that, you know, they're doing it on their own regardless of what coach they have. I feel like if that was the case, then any team that any coach that has a good team, I feel like that would have to apply to them too. You know? Like I feel like maybe it's just me.
Then
but
you could say like Phil Jackson's not a good coach.
Yeah, then you could say like Phil Jackson's not a good coach because, you know, he coached at Michael Jordan Bulls, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, led Lakers. You could go on and you could say a team like Brad Stevens isn't a good coach.
Can I say another crazy thing? What? I don't think Phil Jackson's that great of a coach.
That blasphemy. I think Phil Jackson is a terrible GM.
Oh, Phil Jackson might be the worst GM.
Yeah.
Or whatever title he gave him, president of basketball operations. He was the dude making trades and signing free agents. And he did not do a good job at his job.
It was so bad. He tried to run the triangle. Was it the triangle offense? On the Knicks, and it was just...
He was only hiring coaches that he could convince to run the triangle.
Yeah.
Which, I do think that the triangle offense is a... did he come up with that?
I think he was at least
integral in popularizing it, if he didn't come up with it himself. And I think that that was a way to get the best out of your stars, specifically star shooting guards. And I do commend him for that.
You know, I would have to be star shooting guards, you know, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, two players, should I say, under his coaching. You know, you're going to give the ball to them, to players like Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan the most, so why not run the triangle offense, you know, specifically targeting through those main players.
Yeah.
Two shooting guards, obviously, which is why the triangle offense is so focused in on the shooting guard position. You know, obviously.
Back to what you were saying, yeah, I do think that that is a fair judgment of what I said. But then I will say, like, Brad Stevens, if you look at that roster 2 years ago, was not as good as it was now. And he was still in the contention for Defensive Player of the Year. You look at Nick Nurse's 2019 NBA championship roster, I will say that that team, without their coach, would not have been winning a championship. I do not think that Kawhi Leonard was going to drag that bench all the way to the finals without Nick Nurse behind the helm.
Another thing I was going to say Nick Nurse, you know, he had Kawhi on his team. He had a really, really good team. And everyone was praising, including us, we were praising Nick Nurse like he was the greatest coach of all time. And, yeah.
This year has been rough.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I mean, last season, yeah, it wasn't, you know, they made it to the second round of the playoffs. We thought maybe Nick Nurse proved himself, you know, as being a pretty good coach. Without Kawhi Leonard, and now you look at this season.
To be fair, all he has now is like a Beyblade and bootleg Blake.
Their roster is not that good, but I mean, what? Maybe I just don't watch Toronto. Maybe you'll be able to answer this question for me because I don't really keep up with Toronto that much, to be honest. Not even when they had Kawhi, I never really
yeah.
kept up with Toronto and the Raptors. What is so different about last year's roster to this year's roster?
Okay, so big thing, will I think, is didn't they pay? Did they pay Fred VanVleet this year? They, right?
Yeah,
I'm pretty. Yeah,
they extended him.
So
big contract.
Yeah, what they're doing right now. I will admit, we're 20 games into the season. I've probably watched 4 Raptors games.
Yeah,
but what I've seen is them trying to make Fred VanVleet the new Kyle Lowry when they do not play similarly at all. Fred VanVleet is a perimeter defender and a perimeter scorer, not a facilitator. Kyle Lowry is a great defender on all levels, pretty much, and is a facilitator on offense. And they're trying to just make Fred VanVleet be Kyle Lowry because Kyle Lowry's starting to decline and it's not working. So they have almost no production out of their guard spot. And then I do not think that Pascal Siakam, without a perimeter shot or without being able to finish with his... I think he needs to finish with his right hand more. Maybe I'm wrong. I forget which hand, which is his dominant hand.
Stop spinning.
Yeah. He always goes left or right. Right now in my head, I can't picture which one it is. But he's really easy to stop as the first option offensively. And since they've taken Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry kind of out of the equation by messing with their roles too much, which I think is something Nick Nurse has progressively started to slow down on, and that's why they are winning games now. I think that that has been why they are starting to make a resurgence, is because they're like, oh, okay, Fred VanVleet isn't Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
But because they just need more scoring, because Pascal Siakam by himself can get stopped by me, because all I have to do is stand under the rim to the left and he's going to run straight at me because he doesn't know how to go the other way.
I swear, every single time I see, like, Pascal Siakam on, like, Instagram, like, just going through Instagram, maybe it's on, like, Sideline Sources or something like that, I always see him spin. And I feel like every single time I go to the comments, all I ever see is just the comment section is flooded with, stop spinning, Siakam, stop the spin.
Fidget spinner, Beyblade, helicopter.
Stop the spin, stop the spinning. Like, there's, like, I just feel like, and like I said, I don't really watch Raptors games. In fact, it's really hard for me this year to watch a lot of NBA games because every single game except for the primetime games are on the League Pass.
Yeah.
And I don't have the League Pass. So I just see a lot of highlights and I just do a lot of research on like stats and players and, you know, what's going on in the NBA.
Yeah.
And that's how I know.
It's pretty hard to get anything but primetime games unless you're dropping a big buck.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I can't. I don't have the League Pass. You know, I just really keep up with, like I said, Sideline Sources, which is where I get a lot of my information.
Yeah, I'm keeping up with NBA games, but in a way that I'm not allowed to disclose publicly. So we'll just move on from that. so yeah, I mean Toronto. Let me check what seed they're in because I feel like they have gotten a little better. They're the 11 seed now. They're 7-11, so they're approaching 500, which to start off the season, they were like 2-5. So, things are going up.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, going back to the...
We started with coaches here.
Yeah.
I will say that Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich are incredible coaches. Like, definitely top 5 coaches, but I do think that coaches, they are very important, but I tend to think that coaching isn't as important as good players.
But yeah, definitely. I mean, I agree with that too.
Because I just think that a lot of people put a lot of value on coach, which, again, I do think that a lot of people will see it like coaches are 50% of the team, players are 50% of the team. I think especially in this modern era of the player empowerment era, as they call it, that we are seeing that actually players are going to be great players wherever they are. And that coaches, I would say it's probably 70% players, 30% coaches.
I mean, the thing is, talking about coaches and how good they are because of the players they have is so, I feel like, unfair to the coaches.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, if you're Steve Kerr, you can take Steve Kerr as a prime example of this. he always had, if like once he, I think it was Mark Jackson, who was the original coach, got fired, and they brought in Steve Kerr, you know, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steph Curry. I feel like that's when it kind of, you know, kind of started, you know, turning into what it was. Yeah.
So did Nick Nurse.
Yeah. And I feel like, is that because Steve Kerr is an amazing coach, or is it because they had arguably one of the greatest teams in NBA history, and then they added Kevin Durant?
And I will say, is it because Steve Kerr is an amazing coach? Because I would say that he did what he should have done. He looked at the pieces and said, we will focus on perimeter shooting. And that's what they did, and they won a championship. And then take Mike Budenholzer, who I still very much have a disdain for, going back to last playoffs. I'm pretty sure we were doing the show for it, where he plays Giannis like 25 minutes in a playoff loss.
Yeah, I remember.
And like, what
that.
Are you doing? What are you doing, that. Mike? And I really hold a disdain for Mike Budenholzer, but he won a Coach of the Year because of the simple fact that he had the bold new idea to surround Giannis with shooters, which is something the coach before did not do. And like, it seems pretty obvious. And then I bet when Steve Kerr came in and he saw Steph Curry hitting 35-foot threes and Klay Thompson standing in the corner making 90 threes in a row, and then Draymond Green being the best defender in the league, he was like, oh, I'm not an idiot, so I can say, hey, let's run this offense through Steph Curry shooting.
That's when you said, like, with Steve Kerr, it's just, you know, making the idea to run us like run a perimeter offense, a three-point shooting offense. I was going to say, like, that's, I mean, but if you look at his roster, like...
Like, is that him being a good coach?
Like, that's... What else would you do with that team? If you have Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, what are you going to do? Then you had Kevin Durant. What are you going to do with the team? Like,
I will say, is part of being a good coach your ability to rile up your team and to have your team be behind you? Because then, if so, I will say Steve Kerr's an incredible coach. Because he can get Draymond to produce the way he does. He could get Andre Iguodala. He convinced him to come off the bench because he said, we'll win a ring if you come off the bench. And he did. And he had Sean Livingston, an old, old man with broken knees, contribute good minutes to that team. And Harrison Barnes, he got productivity out of. And these are players that really... In that situation, I don't think would be giving, first of all, the amount of effort they did, and then second of all, they would not have ended up at 73-9 if Steve Kerr did not know how to milk every last ounce out of those players.
Yeah, definitely, and I'm not saying Steve Kerr is a bad coach by any means.
Yeah, no, it's just that, like, it does seem, from a roster-building perspective, kind of obvious what they did.
Yeah, like,
Budenholzer and
Steve
Kerr.
I feel like any coach can do that. Like, if you have Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson... on your offense, and what else would you do besides put that team around perimeter shooting?
Yeah, and I will say Steve Kerr definitely was integral in accepting that three-point shooting was going, because, like, you look at last year's Pacer team, we had a bunch of good shooters. Nate McMillan just didn't know what to do with them. He was just like, no, we're still running the offense in the paint. Like, no, Miles Turner, a 35% three-point shooter, put him in the paint. Like, no, it just doesn't, some coaches really just don't do it. And I will say, but Mike Budenholzer literally just came in and did a job I could have done, which is look at Instagram comments and see everybody being like, why doesn't Giannis have shooters? And then he walked in and said, hey guys, we're going to shoot threes while Giannis stays in the paint. And then everybody did it, and then they won a bunch of games. And it's like, duh. Like, you didn't do, and then, like, it's that part, and then he did that, and then in the playoffs had really bad coaching decisions, allocated minutes poorly, just was responsible pretty much for that team's downfall.
One thing I want to say, like, another thing that is so unfair to these coaches is that, yes, Steve Kerr has his Warriors team, right? And you know what's going to happen? If Steve Kerr were to go to another team that was nowhere near as good as that Warriors team, that was just, like, a pretty bad team, or just an average team, people would say, oh, see, look, Steve Kerr is not a good coach.
Yeah.
I mean, but obviously, if you take a coach from a God squad and put him on an average team, they're not going to go 73-9. They're not going to see... almost a three-peat. Like, it's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen. Look at the team.
And, like, Scott Brooks now has gone from a great team that had a bunch of great players. He got put on an average team, and that team stayed average or got worse.
And look,
I think that you can pretty comfortably say, okay, Scott Brooks is not the coach we thought he was.
I'm going to bring up a prime example of an amazing coach. All right. Here is an amazing coach, Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah.
That is a prime example of an amazing coach. The same guy.
Look at last year's Miami team.
Exactly.
That is not a championship roster.
The same coach that had, you know, the 2014 Miami Heat. The same coach that had LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Mario Chalmers, Chris Bosh, Ray Allen, Norris Cole.
Did you just say, okay, time out. You said Mario Chalmers before Chris Bosh.
I think I did. I don't know why. I wanted to say Mario Chalmers so badly. I don't know why. But LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, I'm going to say it again, Mario Chalmers, Chris Bosh, Norris Cole, Udonis Haslam, that God squad that, you know, nobody thought that Eric Spoelstra was a great coach because look at that team he has.
Yeah.
And now look, but then look at him. Oh, what happens? That team kind of, you know, falls apart. But what is that? Miami always seems to stay in the playoffs somehow. And now they have last season where they made it to the NBA Finals. I mean, look at the team. Does that team at the beginning of the season look like they're going to make the NBA Finals? Absolutely. I mean, look at them right now.
People were like, Jimmy Butler to the Heat. This is going to ruin everything. And then Eric Spoelstra says, you know what? Hold on. Let's make this work.
Like, that Eric Spoelstra is a prime example of an amazing coach. A prime, beautiful example of what a great coach looks like.
And then you can also say Brad Stevens. Like, if you look 2-3 years ago when Jason Tatum was a rookie, Jaylen Brown was in, like, his second season, that team, looking back on it, that they've made the playoffs every year for the last, like, 5 years, and never once has that team been, like, incredible until last year and this year. And that's because Brad Stevens has been able to game plan against other teams late in the season after he's played them a couple times, and he's been able to grind out those wins that maybe, looking talent-wise, they shouldn't have gotten. And that's when you can determine a good coach from a great coach, is when you give them the absolutely average roster, and they're either the roster that without a coach would get a 9 seed, and you see, are they a top 4 seed or are they a bottom 4 seed because of this coach? And I think we're seeing that Scott Brooks has what would be considered an average team, and even though they have gone through quite a lot of injuries, is just playing poor basketball. He's giving minutes to the wrong people in the wrong times. Any other night, I think, with the roster that took the floor last night, you would just be like, okay, we're losing tonight. We have one of our two all-stars are in. Half our roster is gone because of COVID-19. We'll play Bradley Beal 20 minutes, and then we'll pull him out for the second half, and we'll take our loss and go home. Bradley Beal's on a G League team.
I do want to say about, like, Brad Stevens. I think Brad Stevens is a great coach. I do think one thing about Brad Stevens, though, is that I feel like his rotations are a little wonky. I
mean, he changes them a lot.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe it's just me, but I see, like...
But that's also part of it, I think, is that he is experimenting a good amount with his rotations. That way, coming playoffs, he can use, like, he can be like, okay, when I had Taco Fall in there with... why can't I remember a single player on the Celtics now? With Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, that worked really well defensively. Let me save that. Let me keep that locked up as my own little secret. You know, something like that. Because at the end of the day, I think Brad Stevens knows, and then I think a lot of, like, other high-level coaches in the past, Greg Popovich, maybe Eric Spoelstra knew last year, they were keeping these little secrets, these little rotations, these little plays, things like that. And they were like, we're going to be in the playoffs. Let's just keep this tucked away.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that may be it. That may just be that Brad Stevens is experimenting so he can bring out, like, a secret weapon or, like, you know, a spark plug. And I understand that, and it's obviously working because the Celtics are doing pretty good right now. So it's working, whatever they're doing. Do I think the Celtics could honestly be doing a lot better than what they currently are? I do. I do think, like, with that team they have, the Celtics could be doing a lot better.
Or I'll give you an example of how you can tell a good coach. Indiana literally started this season with the exact same roster as last season. And they're doing better now than they were before. The only difference, they have a new coach. There's obvious correlation. The only roster change was Nate McMillan became Nate last name. I still don't know how to say it, and I don't want to be rude. Like Bjorkson, something like that. Bjorkinson. And they're better now. They're the third seed right now. I think you can obviously say that he came in, implemented a modern offense into a team that was built with modern offensive players, and then now we're playing better. I don't think it's rocket science to say that he's a better coach than Nate McMillan so far.
Yeah. I agree. I agree, definitely.
Yeah, coaching is all about intangibles and things that you can't really see unless you're in that huddle. So it really is hard to gauge coaches a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like Doc Rivers, last year we were like, Doc Rivers is the absolute worst, most dumb coach person we've ever seen, and Philadelphia is the one seed.
Yeah, I give no credit to Doc Rivers. I don't care what this. I don't care if Doc Rivers went to the Washington Wizards and then won every single game for the rest of the season and won the NBA Finals. I would not give Doc Rivers any credit.
Yeah,
because Doc Rivers is my arch nemesis of the NBA.
Yeah, little fun fact. Gavin, after our podcast episode, which you can go check out on our Audio Boom, about how bad Doc Rivers is, you can check that out. After that, actually, they got on a phone call and really just hashed it out for like, that was probably like 90 minutes, right?
Yeah, because I
screaming at each other.
Yeah, because I have Doc Rivers' phone number.
Yeah.
And I just, whenever Doc I get mad at him,
like,
I just
call him. You're going to get me fired. And Gavin was like, good, I'm glad. And then he was like, please stop, dude. I don't want to lose my job. And cried again. And then like 5 days later, guess what? Doc Rivers out.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, and you know, I just had to call up the Clippers organization, you know, call up the manager, tell him what was going on down there. And,
yeah, and then guess what? Doc Rivers, where is he now? Philadelphia. Who would want to be there?
Philadelphia, the same team that's going to dominate the regular season and then go out in like the first round of the playoffs.
And classic Philadelphia style.
And I mean, it's...
Hey, you got the Eagles. You got the 76ers.
Once they,
what else do we need to prove to you guys?
Once they go up against the Celtics in a seven-game series where the Celtics have a nice, healthy Jason Tatum. Yeah, might as well just say the Celtics are winning the series. You know why?
I hope one day I can be a Jason Tatum fan.
Well,
I hope that...
You can. You can be one right now. What's holding you back for being a Jason Tatum fan?
Okay, what's holding me back? First of all...
Besides, he looks weird.
The Celtics I don't like as a organization that much just because they have so many rings. And I just don't like rooting for the teams that have always been on top. I actually, when Isaiah Thomas was playing in the league and was good, I liked the Boston Celtics, and then the whole time since Jason Tatum got drafted, people have been like, Jason Tatum is the best out of Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball, and the whole time I've been like, let's hold on and let's see.
But
I've
now
been like, they're gonna get better, and then now we're like, what, four seasons in, and he's still the best one. And I'm just like, hold on, guys. Maybe Lonzo's shot will improve. Guys, just wait till Markelle Fultz comes back from this ACL tear. He's going to be crazy. And just the whole time, he's dropping like 40 pieces. I'm just like, guys, just... And then I'm just sitting here like, no, Jason Tatum's still not that good. Jason Tatum's... Well, he's gonna stop being so good soon. And he's averaging like 35 on one of the best teams in the East.
Yeah. I mean, hey...
What's stopping me from being a Jason Tatum fan? Skepticism. The refusal to believe that the Celtics can still win at everything they've ever done. And the fact that he dribbles funny. Can I say that?
Like, I don't know what it is. I know you think he dribbles funny, but, like, I don't see it. Maybe I just don't see it.
Okay, I want you guys to go to the WBDG Twitter. It's at WBDG Indy, and just tweet at us. Do you think Jason Tatum dribbles weird? Do you think that he looks too clunky when he's moving around?
I don't see it. Like, look at that beautiful sidestep that Jason Tatum has. That signature sidestep that he has.
He has a nice sidestep. He doesn't have beautiful. A nice anything else. Everything else is just so ugly to watch. The way he dunks when he cocks his arm back like he's a robot. It's just, it's disgusting. I just punched the table on accident. It's just, I don't like watching Jason Tatum play basketball. Every time the ball's in his hands, I cover my eyes.
I'm like, but his shot is so smooth, too.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't, I don't like it, and it makes me nervous to watch, and it makes my stomach hurt just thinking about it. But that's all that I want to talk about Jason Tatum, because just uttering his name makes my stomach turn. Cleveland has been doing good. 9-9 right now, 6th in the Eastern Conference. Gavin, you were right. Last week or the week before, you said Andre Drummond is going to either get traded to the Nets or leave or something like that. And he's in the middle of working on, or this is speculative, or this is speculation that Andre Drummond is working on buying out his contract. That way he can get out. He wants to go to the Brooklyn Nets, which is what Gavin said. Yeah. Gavin, I don't know how you predicted that. I don't, like, just what wizardry you did to just conjure that thought up. You were like, you know what? I think Andre Drummond's going to go to the Nets. I hadn't heard a single rumor about it anywhere else. I checked Shams, Woj, checked every sports reporter I follow. Not a single person was like, Andre Drummond to the Nets will be a good idea. And then Gavin's just over here like, I'm telling you, it's going to be Andre Drummond to the Nets. And I was like, sure thing, Gavin. And now I hear this, and it's, Gavin, so can you just go ahead and tell me what was your thought process in making that prediction, how you knew that this was going to happen? Give me every detail. You're listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis.
Well, you know, I did call this a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I'm not the type of person that's going to say I told you so, but I told you so. But, yeah, I felt like with Jared Allen, you know, getting traded to the Cavaliers, I had absolutely no defense, and although Andre Drummond is not the greatest defender of all time, he's an amazing rebounder, and if you put Andre Drummond to fill the position of Jared Allen, I just feel like they go together very well. Like, I feel like if you look at Andre Drummond and you look at Jared Allen, I could be like, yeah, I would want Andre Drummond. You know, I feel like they match up very well against each other.
And you can say, I think you can say Jared Allen fits the timeline of Cleveland better.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond fits the timeline of the Nets.
Thing is, I feel like everyone knows Andre Drummond is an insane rebounder, the best rebounder in the entire league, no doubt.
By far.
And the way the
He's
Nets
led
work...
He's led the league in rebound like 5 out of the last 7
definitely.
Seasons.
Definitely. And the way the Nets work is you look at KD, Kyrie, and James Harden, that's a whole entire offensively built team. Can you imagine you have a great rebounder like Andre Drummond getting the rebound after a missed shot, you know, playing good defense down the post, and then throwing an out left pass to one of his offensive players to run a fast break with those three players? Do you know how having Andre Drummond on your team, especially on a team like the Nets, the amount of fast break opportunities that can be created, because you already know Andre Drummond's going to get the rebound, get an outlet pass. I mean,
okay, I'm going to say something kind of crazy real quick. I think Andre Drummond might be the best half-court shooter in the NBA.
Hey, all right, that's not even like, that's like, is that a crazy statement to say? Like,
He's really good at half-court shots. Like, one of the most efficient besides, like, Steph Curry and LeBron, which are also, both of them are really good at half-court shots, because when you're as good as them, what do you even practice when you're in layup lines? You just step back and do your half-court shots. And Andre Drummond, because his arms are so massive, all he has to do is just throw the ball straight. Same thing with Steven Adams, because he doesn't have to put any power into it because his arms are, again, just huge. But yeah, throughout his career, Andre Drummond averages just a lot of rebounds. His career high was 16. This year he's averaging 14.7. At the lowest point in his career, his rookie season, he averaged 7.6. Other than that, he's never averaged under 10. He's just real good at rebounding, he's guys.
So good at rebounding. It's insane. And yeah. I mean, another thing I wanted to say about like the reason I thought that that was a possible destination for Andre Drummond is because if you look at the Nets defense, they have absolutely no defense.
Yeah, he averages a block and a half, a steal and a half.
Even though Andre Drummond, I feel like he's a good defender. I'll say he's not like a great defender, but I feel like he's an average to good defender. He's in that range, I feel like.
Yeah, his defensive rating's like 108.8, which is just about average.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like he's an average defender, but I feel like if you put him on the Brooklyn Nets, he's just going to feel like an amazing defender because the Nets have absolutely no defense.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like when I first thought of that, I just felt like when I first heard Andre Drummond, I was just like, oh yeah, the Nets just got rid of their center. They don't really have a center. They have a bunch of offense. Andre Drummond, you know, Jared Allen just went to the Cavs. Andre Drummond is in the Cavs. They both play the same position. They have Kevin Love.
Right.
If they just traded for Jared Allen, maybe that could, you know, spark an Andre Drummond to the Nets because they go pair and pair.
Yeah.
You know, if you just look at it, it makes sense. Just makes sense that they would do that, in my opinion. That's just what that's what my thought process was.
That makes sense. He also is putting up decent numbers offensively. Not like the Nets need more offense or anything. he's been doing pretty dang good.
Yeah.
He gets 55% of his team's available rebounds.
Yeah. Over half.
When there's a rebound coming down and there's a Cavs player grabbing it, there's a 55% chance it's Andre Drummond. Which is just insane.
That's even with Jared Allen.
He is one out of the 10 players on the team, and he gets 50% of the boards.
That means if they're like, that's ridiculous. And that includes now Jared Allen. I guarantee, I feel like when he goes to the
Nets, he's going to be the only person to get a rebound.
It's going
to
be even higher than
besides
that.
James Harden when he wants a triple double.
I feel like it's going to be even higher than that.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane to me. Like, you look at the best rebounders in the league, and Andre Drummond is just blowing everyone away.
Yeah.
Also, did you see Rudy Gobert's recent game? He dropped, 29 points, 20 rebounds, 3 blocks.
Oh, wow.
3 steals, something like that.
I did not see that.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was insane.
I haven't watched enough. I don't think I actually... and I know that this is crazy because they're the number one seed in the West. I don't think I've watched a Jazz game this year.
Are they number two now?
No, Utah's number one. Lakers are number two because Utah's 14-4 and Lakers are 14-5. Clippers are 13-5. Yeah, let's just go over standings, Gavin. Stop me if you see anything crazy. Utah's the one seed. Lakers are the two seed. Clippers are 3. Denver is 4. Portland is 5. Golden State is 6. San Antonio is 7. Memphis is 8. That rounds out the playoff picture for the Western Conference. Then you have Phoenix at 9. OKC at 10. Denver at 11. Houston at 12. Sacramento at 13. Pelicans at 14. And Minnesota at 15. And I will say, Sacramento, I really thought they were going to be on a better pace than they are now at the beginning of the season. They've kind of fallen off.
I want to say the Mavericks... What is going on with Dallas?
Things have been kind of rough. Let me check what their schedule has been so far. They're on a three-game... No. Okay. They are on a three-game losing streak right now. They beat the Pacers last Wednesday, a week ago from yesterday. Then they beat the Spurs. They lost to Houston, Denver, and Utah. They play Utah again tonight. Utah being the one seed in the West, so that might be rough. And then they play... on Saturday, they're about to play back-to-back. So Friday, they play Utah. Saturday, they play Phoenix. So that could be kind of rough.
Also, the Nuggets, who were out of the playoffs last time, I can't remember if it was 2 shows ago.
Yeah.
We talked about how the Nuggets were supposed to be a top 3 seed or signed top 4 or something like that. Something like that. And now they're over here, 11-7. Holding it down, the fourth seed.
Okay, right now I'm looking at Mavericks' box score against the Jazz. I was expecting to see an injury or something. No, this is the exact same roster from last year.
That's why I'm so surprised. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, Luka put up 34-6. Kristaps Porzingis added 18-5. Tim Hardaway put in 19. Tim Hardaway's a good player.
I feel like
we never give him credit.
Yeah.
Wasn't he on the Knicks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was pretty good on the Knicks. And on the Knicks, that's when I first heard about Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah. You got James Johnson, Jalen Brunson, Troy Burke, Dwight Powell all coming off the bench. Willie Cauley-Stein's in there. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. That's going to be my quest, is I'll figure out why Denver's so bad this year, and I'll come back and tell you guys next week.
Another thing, the Jazz in their last 10 are 10-0.
Ooh, oh, my God. So that means what, they were 4-6 and then went on a 10-game win streak? Yeah, they're on a 10-game win streak.
10-0?
Yeah, so they were 4-4 and then won 10 in a row. Yeah, that's crazy. Utah, been on a tear. Donovan Mitchell is one of my favorite young players in the league. His just mix of offensive versatility, being able to score on all three levels, combined with just how good he goes around screens. He's real stocky, sturdy, stays down. He has a wide base when he's playing defense, really works his way around screens. Has been known actually to knock people down when going through screens because he's just so small and like... built. He'll just push his way through screens sometimes. He gets those good steals, just clogging up lanes, passing lanes, stealing the ball, come back for a fast break dunk. I thought it was absolutely absurd that he was in the dunk contest when I first heard about him his rookie year. I was like, Donovan Mitchell, who even is that? And then he won it with some pretty lame dunks, if we're being honest. They weren't that good. But then I was like, okay, Donovan Mitchell, sure thing. And then he almost won Defensive Player of the Year against Ben Simmons. Ever since then, I've been on his bandwagon. I was team not a rookie. Speaking of, about Ben Simmons, I've always disliked Ben Simmons.
I have too. I think the reason I dislike Ben Simmons so much is because people kept on saying when he was coming out of college, I think he went to LSU, that he was going to be the next LeBron.
No one will ever be the next LeBron.
So right now, you cannot tell me a rookie coming out of college is going to be the next LeBron. Just like you cannot tell me that a rookie coming out of college is going to be the next Jordan Durant. You can't tell me that because you've never even seen him play NBA game.
People were saying the same thing about Zion. LeBron James coming out of high school, you could tell he was a great facilitator, dunker, defender. Zion Williamson is good at blocking and dunking. He is a great player. He will never touch LeBron. He will never touch LeBron's legacy, anything like that. Because LeBron James, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, LeBron James is LeBron James. No one will ever be his level of skill or have his skill set because he is the only LeBron James and will forever be the only LeBron James. Same thing with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is the one and only Michael Jordan. People said Kobe will be the next Michael Jordan. Kobe was the first Kobe.
Yeah, I agree.
These are all their own players. And, well, I will say that comparisons to other players, well, they're coming out of college, sure. But you cannot compare anyone to Michael Jordan. You can't say, yeah, this dude's just like Michael Jordan. He's not. There is no college player that is like, because you want to know why? Nobody, when Michael Jordan was coming out of college, was saying, Michael Jordan's going to be the best player we've ever seen. Because you can't predict that sort of thing. The only player that people have said that about, and it's been true, is LeBron James. And I will say, he is the exception. Because you know who else they said was going to be great? Lance Stephenson. They said Lance Stephenson was going to be the savior of the league, face of the league. Well, I can tell you, when he's playing in China next season, we're not going to be like, man, they sure were right. Because the media, 99 out of 100 times, is going to be so off with their predictions of what players are going to
do. It's so aggravating when people like, no, you cannot tell me someone coming out of college is going to be the next Michael Jordan, LeBron James, or Kobe Bryant. It's not going to happen. No.
Don't tell me he's the next Will Chamberlain.
It's not, no. And like, never seen them play against professional NBA players. You've never seen them play against these people before.
Here's what you can say comfortably about Ben Simmons coming out of college. College. is you can say, he reminds me of LeBron James when he's coming down the lane. he gives Magic Johnson, like passes when he's in transition. You can say that, and I'll say, okay, I'm excited for this. But if you say, quote, he is going to be the next LeBron James, I'm going to close the article and never read another article you've written because you are an imbecile and a fool. Because, again, I know that you're just doing it for clicks, but I just want real analysis.
I don't understand how someone can legitimately look and say a person coming out of college who has never in their entire life played an NBA game, and the step up from college to the NBA is huge.
Remember when those lists were coming out at the beginning of last year that people were like, Zion Williamson's already a top 50 player in the NBA. He hasn't played. He's not even an NBA player yet, really.
It's so aggravating.
I bet I could make a top 50 list of NBA players right now, and Zion Williamson still wouldn't be on it. He averages like 18 points and 4 rebounds. He's not that good. A double-double is attainable.
I'm just like, who else did they say the same thing? They said, I don't really want to say Greg Oden because he got hurt and he was really, really good.
But you want to know what? Nobody was like, Kevin Durant is going to be the next, legend or anything like that.
Yeah.
Which,
Kwame Brown. They told me Kwame Brown was going to be better than Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Kwame Brown.
They said Kwame Brown was going to be better than Paul George.
They tried to tell me. Look at Kwame Brown. If you say anyone coming out of college is going to be better than Paul George,
you're wrong.
There's nothing more to it. Paul George is actually, if you guys didn't know, the greatest basketball player to step foot on any court, whether it's an outside court, a gym, an NBA gym, it doesn't matter.
You know that, who's the owner of the Hornets?
Michael Jordan.
I feel like, I was just looking him up the other day, and apparently he's like 6'6". I feel like he'd be good at basketball.
Yeah,
I think he'd be pretty good.
I saw that. I saw that same exact thing.
Oh, Pelicans. I wanted to see how Zion's been doing statistics-wise. Man, he's at the bottom of their roster. Yeah, like 20 points and 6 rebounds just doesn't seem like Zion production.
I don't get it. It's like, I don't get why they do it. I think they just do it because it's like an attention grabber.
Can I be honest? And again, this
makes sense.
This is going to be something that a lot of people might disagree with me on. And just be like, you didn't say that, but when I was watching March Madness, I was like, you know what? I'd take Ja Morant over Zion Williamson. And people were like, no, you wouldn't. And then I was like, you know what? Actually, Zion Williamson's really good. You should take him at the first pick. But then now looking back on it, I was like, maybe I should have stuck with that original prediction.
My dad.
Ja Morant's kind of really, really good at basketball. And Zion's also really, really good at basketball. But Ja Morant is like the future of the league, and then Zion Williamson is also going to be an all-star in the league, probably, but I don't think that he will ever be the dude that Ja Morant is already at.
I was going to say, my dad actually, and he knew who Ja Morant was. He saw like a highlight video of him or something like that in high school, of Ja Morant in high school, and he wasn't any visits or anything, but he was like balling out, like he is right now, playing great. I think it was Xavier, because that's the college you went to. I think that's the college you went to.
He went to Murray State.
Oh, no, Murray State. That's what it was, not Xavier. He went to Murray State. And, they're the only team to offer him, a scholarship to come play at their school.
Yeah, give only him a spot. D1, I'm pretty sure. I think and he probably got
yeah,
D3.
But
I bet I could
nobody, D3. Nobody cares about those. The D1, Murray State. Committed to Murray State because that was the only, place he could really go. Played out at Murray State, completely balled out, just like he did. And then it wasn't until we got into March Madness, college basketball's playoffs, and kept playing just like he was during the regular season. Kept playing him very good, great basketball. And then he just started getting noticed.
Yeah.
Then people were realizing, like, oh, wait, this Ja Morant guy can play basketball.
Ja Morant actually helped me win a March Madness bracket because I was like, there's absolutely no way Ja Morant loses this. Because in the first round, they were like a low seed. I think it was like 12-4 or something. And I was like, Ja Morant's not losing. And then he dropped the first ever triple-double by a athlete in March Madness.
Yeah.
And I was like, there we go.
That's
what I wanted.
My dad, like I said, when he saw that highlight video, that mixtape in high school, was just like, he was like, this guy, you know, could really do something. He could really make it to the NBA and be something pretty good. And I was like, who? He was like, Ja Morant. I'm like, who? Ja Morant? I'm like, have you heard of Zion Williamson?
Yeah.
RJ Barrett?
RJ Barrett, I thought, was going to be way better than he has been, which also, it's his second season. I will never call anybody that hasn't played 5 seasons a bust. Like I was saying, I'm still hopeful that somebody from the 2015-16 draft class will pass Jason Tatum. I'm still hoping.
I looked at that mixtape, that highlight video of Ja Morant that my dad showed me, and I looked at it and I was like, dang, yeah, that guy, you know, he's really good, but I remember saying, like, but I still think Zion's better. Now it's just because of the hype, I feel like, that was built around Zion. And now looking at it, no, like that the first year in the league, I had Ja Morant winning Rookie of the Year. I mean, look at Ja Morant. He's insane.
I don't know why, but like, when I look at the two of them, in the modern league especially, I just feel like Zion Williamson doesn't really have that game-changing. I just feel like somebody with his skill set is never going to be the dude that wins you a game, that goes on like a 20-point run to win you the game. Because he doesn't shoot threes. He doesn't, like, create his own shot. He's like, Sean Kemp, you know? Like, he's a dude that, like, is going to be really, really good and going to be super impactful in the league, but only if he has a good point guard. There's never going to be a time where we're like, Zion Williamson took over this game with his incredible dribble moves and his perimeter shooting. They were playing really good. Like, if the other team has a great center, he's getting shut down.
And do you remember, like I call it the Rising Stars game? I don't know if that's still what it's called. But when the Ja and Zion were on the same team, and, you know, Ja being the great point guard he is, just throwing alley-oops to Zion. Like, I totally agree with you. I feel like if you have a point guard like Ja, or just a really good point guard, that's how Zion is going to eat.
Yeah.
Zion's going to eat if you have a really good point guard, just like we saw in that. Even though, like, the Rising Stars game is just kind of...
Which, I mean, right, like, now he has Lonzo, who's a great facilitator, and that's how he's able to be averaging these 20 points.
Yeah.
And he's only going to go up. He's not in his prime yet. He's still kind of nursing that knee injury from last year. And I have infinite hope that this dude's going to be good, because I have nothing against Zion Williamson. I hope he's great. I hope that he develops a good perimeter shot, and I hope that he can create his own dribble. I would love that, because I love watching good basketball, but I just really, really, what I'm seeing right now is not a dude that can be that dude. You know, somebody that you can have bring the ball up the court and say, give us a bucket. Because, like, think of the other great big men in the league. Nikola Jokic, you can give him the ball anywhere on the court. Joel Embiid, he's going to create his own shot. But Zion Williamson, I'm just not seeing situations where you hand him the ball at the right wing and you say, we need 2 points, go get it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I mean, I don't know. And this, once again, this all just goes back to people saying that these young rookies who haven't even played a single game in the NBA, they haven't even stepped on the NBA court yet, the practice facility, they haven't even been drafted by an NBA team yet. And people are saying that these people are, or that these young rookies coming into the league are going to be the greatest players of all time.
Yeah, and I tried not to do that when we were doing our pre-draft analysis this year. And, like, I'll say I've already missed on a couple of the, like, I was like, Patrick Williams, why'd you do that? Bulls, and Patrick Williams has been great this year.
Yeah.
He's been doing incredible. And, like, much respect to him. He's proven a lot of people wrong. I would like to have my closing statement be just a fun stat that I found. So Bradley Beal, on games that he has scored 40 or more points, is 7-19. And that's really bad. 27% of his games where he scored 40 or more points, he has won 27% of them.
And I mean, just get Bradley Beal out. And like I said, I called the Andre Drummond trade, so I'm calling the Bradley Beal trade. If he does get traded,
yeah,
he'll be going to the Clippers.
Oh, okay.
I mean, just trust me. You know, I'm telling you why. The Clippers, they have pieces.
Yeah.
They have a pretty good GM. A decent GM.
Other notable players that drop big points and still lose, Devin Booker, he is 5-7 for 42%. Trae Young, he's about 50% on his 40-point games. And then we look over at Klay Thompson, 13-0. When he drops 40, he doesn't lose.
100%.
Steph Curry is 33-6, 85% of his 40-point games.
That just tells you how many 40, like, it's not even the record. How much? Just think about how many 40-point games.
40-point games is incredible. And then right below him with 84%, LeBron James with 41-8. Dirk Nowitzki, 10-2, which is not a large sample size. And then I want you to guess the person that is 12-1 in with their 40-point games. Good for 92%, because it's somebody that, looking at this list, I was not expecting. He wins 92% of the games where he drops 40 points, and he's dropped 13 of them.
He's dropped 13 40-plus point games?
Yeah.
Is he a current player?
Yes, he is in the league right now. And I'll even tell you he's in the Western Conference. He drops 40 points. It is DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah, 12-1 in 40-point games. So if he's dropping 40...
I didn't even know he dropped that many 40-point games. I don't even know if Luka did. That's the first person that came to my mind.
Yeah, you have to have 10-plus to qualify for this. So apparently Luka doesn't have 10 of those. Or is not in the bottom five or top. But anyway, I just wanted to say Bradley Beal deserves a lot better than the worst spot on that list. Because you look at the other players at the top, and I would say that he is comparable in talent as far as Klay Thompson, DeMar DeRozan, and maybe an older Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think that anyone will ever touch Steph Curry or LeBron James.
Yeah, definitely not. And I mean, I don't know.
Free Beal.
Yeah, it's Free Beal. I mean, it's bad. Down there in Washington for poor Bradley Beal.
You know, throw my hat in the ring. Bradley Beal to the Pacers. Give him Domantas Sabonis and let's run a modern offense. I say Pacers, my Siri goes off. But give him Domantas Sabonis. I don't know. I don't know if that would work or anything, but I like putting the Pacers in situations.
The only thing is the Pacers just got Caris LeVert. He gets slashed to the forward position.
Oh, update on Caris LeVert. He had the tumor on his kidney removed. Typically, things like that take about 2 months to rehab from before you can go back to work. I would say give him 3 months because his work is not an office job. His work is professional basketball, but it is expected that he comes back this year,
which is good.
He could be here by the playoffs. He could be here before the playoffs, and then we get a couple games of practice in with him. So that's really exciting. Caris, we know you're a long-time fan of the show. We know you're listening right now. So just hope you're feeling better, man. Prayers up for Caris LeVert. Or, well, I guess it's all successful now. So just relax, chill, get your mind right, get your body right, and then get ready to come play some good basketball for us. Yeah. We traded Oladipo for you, and we really like him. So if you're bad, we're going to let you know.
I was going to say, make sure you play good, because Brayden has no remorse when it comes to NBA players playing bad. No remorse whatsoever.
If you play bad on the Pacers are lucky that they're playing good this year, because I would be very vocal in how. But yeah, they've got me. They've had me in a good mood lately. I've been enjoying watching Pacers games. I really don't have anything bad to say, basketball wise. As long as the Pacers are doing good, they keep me in a good mood when I'm talking about basketball. But if the Pacers are on a down, like take last off season, I was just so mad at the Heat, and I still am. I'll never get over it. Just any time that I have a chance to bash the Heat, I take it. Which, by the way, what's their record?
Their record?
Let's see. Let's see. I'm pulling it up right now. They are the 13 seed. They're 6-11. The Heat are a fluke. They should never have made the finals. That should have been the Bucks.
Unfortunately, the Bucks got absolutely terrorized by the Heat.
Yeah.
So they couldn't make it past the second round.
Yeah. That was the one time that I've ever rooted for Jason Tatum. Is I was like, please take out Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that's all I have to say, though.
Yeah, I think that is about it for me. Gavin, you want to close us out here?
Yep. And, yeah, so thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate you guys. We will be back next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Talk about more NBA basketball. This will be recorded and turned into a podcast if you guys want to listen to it on Audio Boom at WBDG Indy.
Share it with your friends.
Yeah, definitely. You guys can find multiple of our shows on there if you guys want to re-listen. Or if you guys missed one, you can go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
I'm Gavin Miller. Thank you, Brayden, for being on the show. Yeah,
thank you so much for having me, Gavin.
No problem. And we'll see you guys next Thursday. Peace. Yeah, to the beach, y'all. Yeah, put it up, put it up, put it up.